greetings in the name of Jesus Christ, our soon coming King. Jesus is going to return. He told his listeners, if I go away, I shall return and receive you unto myself. I'm so happy that you tuned in today. I'd like for you to tell someone else, a friend, a neighbor, tell someone you love about Bible Strong. Encourage them to log on to this website at BibleStrong316.org. They'll be glad you did. You'll be glad you did. Now let's get into the lesson. In my previous lesson, I was speaking from the book of Matthew, chapter 2. Matthew's gospel is the first of the New Testament gospels. Matthew was a tax collector. He was referred to by the other Jews as a publican. He was hated. He was a Roman tax collector. Matthew was one of the apostles that Jesus called. Jesus went right up to Matthew while he was on his job, called him from behind the desk, and said, "Follow me." Oh, that thrilled Matthew. Matthew threw him a party, a big feast, invited people. And when the scribes and the Pharisees saw that Jesus was eating at the feast that Matthew had thrown for him, and they saw that they were publicans and sinners there. In fact, Zacchaeus might have been one of those in attendance. I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud, but probably not. But anyway, this right here, at this feast that Matthew prepared for Jesus, was the very place that they accused him of being a friend to publicans and sinners. Jesus didn't deny it. He just said, "I've come to seek and to save the sinner." So now, let's get back to chapter 2. In my previous lesson, I got down to verse 2 in chapter 2 of the book of Matthew. I got down to where the wise men saw his star in the east and said, "We've come to worship him. Where is he? We want to worship him." And then, of course, I got to talking about Jesus, the day star, the bright and morning star, and I kind of left off the scriptures there. So today we're going to start in at verse 3. Verse 3. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Can you imagine that? I can understand where Herod would be troubled, but why would Jerusalem, why would all the people in Jerusalem be troubled? One of the greatest ironies of human history is the case of Israel and their Messiah. For centuries, the people of Israel looked for him, a leader who would ascend the throne of David and take away all of their troubles. They prayed, they wept, they yearned for the day when their Messiah would come as their prophet had said he would. Yet, when he came, the nation of Israel was not ready for him, and the people was unwilling to receive him. They waited, but the years took away their eager expectancy. They waited, but his coming caught them unprepared for him. They waited, but when he came, they were more distressed than delighted at his coming. In Jewish legends, there are stories in which even the children went to sleep in the camps of Israel, searching the skies in hopes that they would see the Messiah come. The prophets had spoke of him. The people dreamed of him. He would be mighty, good, and wise. and all the world would know that Israel had her king. Many Jewish writers have told us how the dream of their Messiah took hold of the people and possessed them until it became their obsession. And then the period of eager expectancy passed into a period of wonder, of doubt, of unconcern. In time, the nation became absorbed in other things. Their personal prosperity took away the memory of their suffering. The dreams of their Messiah died. When finally he came, Israel did not rush to see their Redeemer. There was no jubilation, no happy songs, no hosannas bursting from the lips of the people. Some came, such as the shepherds of Judea, the wise men of the east. Some believed and rejoiced, such as Simeon and Anna, aged and waiting in Jerusalem. But the masses, however, had forgotten. They no longer looked or really cared for the Messiah. For long years they had waited. They had hoped. They had prayed. They had pined for him. But when he came, the land had fallen into sleep, the stupor of indifference and satisfaction. When the wise men arrived in Jerusalem, they were met by a brittle cynicism among the leaders of Israel. Accepting the new star in the heavens as the sign of this Jewish Messiah, they traveled far and long to pay him homage. But Herod and the spiritual leaders of the land were in no position to help. Herod was a beast in the last stages of a malignant madness, and the priests and the scribes were fat with plenty and dull with indifference. The priests and the scribes could readily tell where the Messiah was to be born. They knew the scriptures. They had their smug little sermons, but after displaying their knowledge to the wise men, the religious leaders of Israel went sluggishly back to their religious refinements and observance and rituals. Beyond the borders of Israel, the world to which Jesus came was then a world of suffering and slavery, a world in which there were many gods, but faith in none. It was a day in which abounding evil was equal only by its massive unbelief. Paul characterized the people of that day as those who neither glorified God nor were thankful, whose foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do these things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, and wickedness. This was the world into which Jesus came the first time. And now the time is ready when Christ shall return again. His word is true. He will come again. One out of 30 verses in the Bible refer to the second coming of Christ. The world today is strikingly similar to that of long ago, of our day, Paul has said. In the last days, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, boasters, blasphemers, unthankful, unholy, truth breakers, despisers of those that are good, heady and high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. The time remaining us is short. I know that we'll not be able to do all before he comes, but I say, until he comes, we must be busy. We have reached millions around the world, but there are millions more waiting to hear our message. Let us this day lay aside all other ambitions. I do not wish to be the biggest Bible teacher on earth. I want only to be the one that best represents God on the earth. I do not wish to be the richest man on earth, but one that abounds in the truths of God. I do not wish to be the most educated, but the one most effective in the simple faith of God. I do not wish to be the most politically influential with government, but to have an influence with God, that my prayers will be answered by his power and my course charted by his will. I'm going to end this lesson right here, but I want you to be back with me again tomorrow. You're going to enjoy the lesson tomorrow. I enjoyed teaching it, so be with me tomorrow. Be blessed of God.